Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, I'll be reading verses 1 through 8. Listen, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And may the Lord bless to our hearts and lives this reading and hearing of his holy and inspired word. Let us now look to God for a few moments of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and answer them according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul put his personal signature on the New Testament and upon that growing young church of his day. The Apostle Paul gave his very best. He held nothing back. And that's a pretty good philosophy. And every worthwhile thing that you do, give your very best. The Apostle Paul was under house arrest in Rome when he wrote these words from his letter to Timothy. He knew that he was soon going to die a martyr's death. And he wanted his young colleague, Timothy, to know he had no regrets. He would do it all over again, yielding his life and serving God to his glory. He wanted to let it be known quite clearly that the Emperor Nero could not take his life from him, because he was willing to give his life freely for the glory of Jesus Christ. And so, he writes these memorable words from our scripture. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. He writes, I am being poured out like a drink offering. Paul is saying that he held nothing back. Everything was freely given to God and for God's glory. This was Paul's legacy. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Adrian Dearman tells the story of Jerry, a teenager, 16 years old. Jerry developed a very serious heart problem in his younger years, and the problem seemed to be corrected by surgery. And Jerry returned to athletics, which he loved so dearly, especially long-distance running and cross-country running. And in the next race that Jerry was in, he was pulling ahead to a record-setting pace with victory in his sight, running the mile with a 40-yard lead over the next runner. But then he stumbled and fell. It was probably his old heart problem or had some problem with his legs, but he stumbled and fell. He got up, ran a little bit more, and stumbled and fell. He did this several times. And looking back, he saw the second-place runner gaining on him. So he rose to his hands and his knees, and he crawled literally to the finish line. And there he finally crossed the tape ahead of the second-place runner. Jerry had won the race. Dealman says he took a picture of that dramatic finish, and that picture appeared in the local newspaper. But when Dearman saw the picture, he thought of the words of the Apostle Paul, "I have finished the race." It's an inspiring image. Paul was totally poured out. He was almost used up, but he could say without hesitation that he held nothing back. He had given his all. That's rare in this world. The story is told about a young college man who went into a photography studio one day. He had a framed picture of his girlfriend, and he wanted to get a copy of the picture, wanted to get it duplicated. But that meant they had to take the picture out of the frame. In doing so, the studio owner noticed there was an inscription on the back of the picture. Here's what it said. "My dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I'm yours completely for all eternity." It was signed Alice. But this message of eternal love had a postscript. P.S. If we ever break up, I want my picture back. Maybe Alice wasn't totally committed after all. All of us are inspired by people who give their all. We call them heroes. We call them legends. We put them on pedestals. It's not that they are more intelligent. It's not that they are more talented than we are. They simply gave more than the average person is willing to give. Paul says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. The time has come for my departure. And I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race, and I've kept the faith, totally committed to the Lord Jesus Christ." Inspiring words, I believe, that Paul wrote to young Timothy. And in light of Paul's writing these words, I want to ask you some questions this morning. The first question is this: how will you be remembered? That's an important question. How will you be remembered? The Ohio State Buckeyes played at the Fiesta Bowl in January 2003. They were playing for the national championship. And Jim Tressel, the head coach, gathered his team for one final talk before they left the locker room to go out onto the playing field. And after going over the game plan, he asked his team one simple question. How do you want to be remembered? That's a good question for a team. That's a good question for us individually. How do you want to be remembered? Well, it must have worked for that team because when the game was over, the Buckeyes had won and they defeated the Miami Hurricanes and ended Miami's 34-game winning streak. And they won the national championship of college football. How will you be remembered? Will you be remembered as a person who gave his or her all for the work of God's glory in His church and in His kingdom? Or will you be remembered as a person who only took the easy way out? What will be your legacy? How will you be remembered? The second question is this: whose life will be better because you have been here? Millions of people have been touched by the life and the writings of the Apostle Paul, and we read in the Scriptures not only this letter to Timothy, but another letter also, and other letters that Paul wrote to those young churches of his day. He was an inspiration to them. And he's an inspiration to us as we read his letters and as we read about his life, how he was dedicating to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been inspired by those writings. Whose life is better because we have walked this planet? Our lives are better because of the inspiration and the writings of the Apostle Paul. And we've been inspired by other people that we look up to who give their lives so faithfully to the Lord and to His church. But whose life is better because we have lived? Because we have walked this planet? Your spouse? Your children? The people you work with? Your neighbors? Have you made a conscious effort to touch the lives of others with the love of Jesus Christ? God has placed us in this world. He has placed us here to serve one another and to serve Him. Are we doing it? It is in serving the Lord and serving one another that we find greatness. Whose life is better because you have been here? An important question. One more question. When your race is over, what will the Master say about your life? What's He going to say when we stand at the gate of heaven and meet Jesus? What's He going to say about our lives here on earth? Now, it's important when we finish the race that our friends comment favorably about us. It's important that our family would look favorably upon knowing us and remember us fondly. But what's the Master, what's Jesus going to say about your life? Is He going to say that we've been a faithful servant of Jesus? One day in a small English town, a tailor named George Vickers received a shipment of cloth from London. When he unpacked the box, the cloth was damp So he hung it before the fire to dry. A week later, George was dead. A few days after that, one of the landlady's sons had died. Then the man who lived next door to this house died. It wasn't long before 20 people per week were dying in that little town. The year was 1665. The disease was bubonic plague, and the town was called Eam. And one day, as the plague raged on and others died in that little village, the pastor of Eam's church called the people together for a meeting. And he proposed that they draw an imaginary line around that little village of Eam. And he was suggesting to them that they not cross that line, that they stay within the confines of that imaginary boundary. They were to stay in there until, as long as that plague was present in their town, they were challenged not to leave. In effect, he was suggesting that they voluntarily quarantine themselves. He wanted all the people to stay in the village and not go to the surrounding towns where there was no plague. Now, the smart thing for any one person to do was to get out of town as quickly as possible if they didn't have the plague, so they wouldn't get it. That would have been the smart thing for the people to do, to get out of town. But the people knew that if they had the plague, that this would quickly spread to other towns. So the people of Eam made a sacrifice. They stayed put. This was almost guaranteeing themselves that they would catch the plague, and many of them would die. But in doing so, the plague might not affect neighboring villages. And by the time the plague was over in November of 1666, 260 of the 300 people in that little village had died. This was the highest percentage of the population anywhere in England. You know, I wonder if such nobility exists in the world today. Because, you see, we are people who usually look after our own interests first and foremost. We want to take care of ourselves. And to lay down our lives for the greater good, a lot of times, is a foreign concept. And yet, that's what Christ did for us. He laid down His life for us. He died on the cross for our salvation. And today, Christ looked for people who understand that sacrifice and self-giving, that's what it's all about. To live as a servant of Jesus. It is to them that Jesus will say, when the race is over, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. It is to those who are totally poured out, as the Apostle Paul claimed for his own life, it is to those who are totally poured out in service to others that he will open the gates to his kingdom. Again, I ask, how will you be remembered? What will be your legacy? Whose life is going to be better because you have been here? What will Christ say when you pass from this world as he welcomes you into his kingdom? What's he going to say? Well, the Apostle Paul came to the end of his life, and here's what he had to say about himself. "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. The time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." The Apostle Paul poured out his life for the glory of God. What are we doing with ours? Amen.